Good evening, I'm Daniel. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm experiencing victory over being abusive.
Hey, Daniel.
Everyone have a handout and a pen? You'll probably notice in your handout tonight that there's no acrostic, so it's a little bit different teaching tonight. It's on the topic of inventory, and I'm going to have you read some things along with me throughout the lesson tonight. And the reason that we read things out loud is that sometimes when we hear ourselves speak the truth, it changes us. For some people, they have to read the truth and it will change them. Other people, they have to live life and that will change them. So that's one of the things we do. We read things, we read the truth, and it helps us remember and kind of confronts our faulty thinking. So we're going to recite principle 4 and step 4. So if you just repeat, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. So we have this title, inventory. We've read a principle, we've read a step, we've read some scriptures. This step actually requires us to do work and to write things down. And very often, if you're in a step study, this is something that you do, and it might take you a number of weeks to do this step. But even if you're not in a step study, and you're just here tonight in big group, and you've got the handout in front of you, you can start to apply this right away and start to reap some of the rewards of it. So it works both ways, in a step study and outside of a step study. The things that I see in principle 4 that really smack me hard are the whole idea of examining and confessing. When I met my wife, I always focused on now and the future, and I kind of denied what I was doing and really didn't think about the past and didn't really talk about the past and bring it up. So my wife and I would have unresolved issues, and I would just focus on the future because I couldn't change the past. That was my thinking. So I wasn't really examining what I was doing and how I was affecting people around me. I would confess my faults to myself and to God, but that next part, you know, to someone else I trust, to say it out loud, I thought confession was kind of a Catholic thing. But then I started reading scriptures, and I started finding out both in the Old and New Testament, it encourages us to speak out loud what we're doing with our life. And if you're here tonight, when we go to small groups, that's a great place for you to share what's really going on in your life. And the degree that you share is kind of the degree that God can start to heal you. So if you're holding back in your sharing, God may hold back in his healing. So that's kind of the deal. You can agree with it or not, but that's kind of what I've seen in my life. So what would go on an inventory list? Well, there's a scripture verse, Ephesians 4:31. Let's read this one out loud. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Ephesians 4:31. So this scripture is telling us to get rid of these things. So what would bitterness be? So an example of bitterness for me would be in December of 2003, I got laid off from my job. So I was bitter about that happening to me. And my bitterness was towards my manager and his manager. So those two people kind of had bullseyes on their foreheads. And I spent a lot of time thinking ill will about them. And I even went so far as to tell my co-workers, you know, the day that those two people leave the company, let me know, I'll come back and throw a party, and I'll pay for it, because I wanted to get even with these guys. So that's bitterness. So bitterness may be in your life, played a big part in my life, so that would go on my inventory. Slander was on there. So I looked up slander in the dictionary, and slander is the making of false statements that damage another's reputation. A false and harmful oral statement about a person. So I talked really badly about my manager and his manager behind their back all the time. All the time. Because I wanted to make me look smart and then look stupid. So slander has a price, has a consequence to it. So if you find yourself in that kind of habit and you're saying bad things about people, watch it. Or if you're in recovery, start to put it on your inventory list and deal with it. Rage and brawling was in that scripture, Ephesians 4:31. So for me, I got into fights with one of my sons and assaulted him. And he got into a fight with me a few years later and assaulted me and broke my nose and sent me to the hospital. So I know a little bit about losing it and saying, I can fix this. If I can physically put you down, I can get your attention. So if I can control you to do what I want, when I want and how I want it through physical force, then I can win. That's obviously a wrong thinking, and there's a price to pay for that. So if you've got rage in your life or brawling in your life, you know, even if you just put your fist through a wall, you know, if you put your fist through a wall and somebody sees that, to the person that sees you put the fist through the wall, it's as if you hit them in the face. It's the same emotional thing. It's the same thing as beating them. You know, if you throw things, if you break things, these are all symptoms of raging and brawling. And so it's going to have to go in your inventory. Anger. In my life, anger kind of came out as verbal. So I made a vow to myself I would never lose an argument, no matter how small and inconsequential. I wanted to win every single argument. And to win every argument, I would use shame. So shame is putting someone down and telling that person that they are worthless, and therefore all their opinions are worthless. So shame can be a motivator, a negative motivator used by people in authority. So if someone has told you that you're worthless, if someone has told you that you're stupid, if someone has told you you're never going to amount to anything, if someone has told you, you know, you always screw up, you always do the wrong thing, that's damaging to you. That's verbal abuse and emotional abuse. So you've been abused if someone has told you that. And the younger you are, the deeper it can stick in your life. So if you have an instance in your life where someone has told you that, that's got to go on your inventory list. Malice was on that list in Ephesians, so I looked it up in the dictionary. Malice is ill will, especially intention of doing harm for the satisfaction of doing it. So if you watch any adventure or action movie or horror movie, it's just filled with this kind of stuff, you know, for the satisfaction of doing it. So if you've got malice in your life, or if you've been the target, someone has felt malice towards you, that should go on your inventory list. So we've been talking about kind of the things that should go on your list. You do have a yellow handout, and the yellow handout's got five columns. So we're going to start to talk about, you know, what in the world goes in those columns. You can probably tell that the columns, if they're laid out like that, are so tiny, you can't really fit anything into it. So what I recommend is you just take a pad of paper that's lined, if you like to write by hand, or if you prefer to type and you're high-tech and geeky like me, just use a computer. Instead of columns, you just put an entry. So for column one, you would just put the person, and we're going to start talking about what goes in that. So column one, you list the person or object that you have resentment about or you have fear about. Or they just bug you, they piss you off, you wish they weren't around, you wish you never met them. You know, so it can be a person that you resent, it can be a thing that you resent, it can be an authority, it can be a political party, it can be a political issue, it can be many things. So when you're doing your inventory, you're just saying, Holy Spirit, reveal to me people that really bug me, or things that really bug me, that I'm just bothered with, that I'm not resolved with it. I can't go on my life living this way. I'm holding on to this bitterness or this fear, and I want to make a list of it. We're going to do this so that we can get released from it. Okay, the reason we're writing it down is so that we can be released and we can find some freedom from it. Eventually, this kind of a list is something you're going to share with a person called a sponsor. And you're going to talk about it out loud. So the first level of healing is just writing it down and admitting that this really happened to you, that you really do have resentment or fear about this. And the next step is going to be presenting it to a sponsor. So some people just look at an issue in their life. You know, maybe things that people have said to you, what names you've been called. And they just start from the present, and they just write down a list of, I've been called names by my father, my mother, my siblings, my teacher, my coach, my coworker, somebody in authority. You're just trying to get it out there to be thorough. So you can start your list, you know, in column one of this person or thing that you have fear or resentment about. You can start with the present time, and go backwards in time. Or you can just say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the issues that I'm unresolved with and write it out that way. And you don't have to sit down in one sitting and write down 1,000 things. You might pace yourself, and this might take weeks of time. Some people like to look at one issue and just look at their whole life from present to past on that one issue. Other people just like to look at, you know, my family of origin, from my youngest time to the present time. However you do it, it really doesn't matter. The fact is you just want to write it out there and be thorough about it and not ignore what's going on in your life. So we do have a spiritual enemy, and the spiritual enemy doesn't want you to do this work. The spiritual enemy wants you to just sweep it under the rug, ignore it, say, it doesn't matter, it wasn't a big deal, I'll just tough it out, I'll figure this out on my own, and I don't really need to go back and examine things. So if you're hearing that voice in your head that tells you this is not worth the investment, that's not the voice of God, that's the enemy. And so this truth will kind of counteract the lies of the enemy. So who would show up in column one? Could be a parent, could be a sibling, could be a relative, a grandparent, coworker, your friends. Yourself will probably show up on that list. You're angry at yourself. That's honestly something that happens. I've been angry at God. God's on my inventory list. Could be somebody in authority. Column number two is something called the cause. So in recovery, we have an expression, hurt people, hurt people. So in my family, what were some of the causes? So in my family, you know, my dad is on the list, and one of the causes was pornography, hidden pornography in our home. So my dad had a pile of Playboy magazines out in the garage that was, he thought was pretty well hidden, but to a 10-year-old, nothing's hidden. We will find everything. So getting exposed to something I shouldn't be seeing and getting sexually activated early in life was a cause. Also in my family, my mom is on the list, and she would hide bottles of vodka and drink booze 7 days a week to cope with life. So I saw that behavior, and you know, as a little child, I didn't really quite understand, and as I got older, I knew it was a self-destructive pattern and a habit that she couldn't kick. But I saw that, and I was exposed to that dysfunction. Another example in my life, would be my brother. I saw my brother argue with my mom and then beat her. And I could not stop it. In the third column, it's the effect column. So we want to know what the hurtful action was and how did it affect the way that we saw life and that we process life. You know, when we grow up in a family, we see our parents, we see our siblings, we see our relatives. What your family was like becomes normal for you. That becomes a baseline of normalcy. So for my dad, what was the effect? The effect was I learned that it's okay to lead a dual life, you know, to go to church and be godly, and then at home have your pornography and act out. So I learned it was okay to have separate compartments in my life. From my mom, I learned that it was okay to cope with life by numbing out and boozing up. The effect with my brother was that it taught me that might makes right. If you're stronger and you're louder and you're more obnoxious, you'll get your way. So that kind of, these things that happen in your life from these people and these instances affect your thinking. And as people in recovery, there's kind of a social effect, a security effect, and a sexual effect. So socially, you have to ask yourself, and what's happened to you in life so far? Have you suffered from broken relationships or slander or gossip? Have you been violated socially? Has it changed your view of the word social? You know, maybe you were a guy and you tried to go out on a date and you got rejected and you swore off women and you never wanted to date again. You know, so the message you sent to yourself was, I'm not good enough to date, I can't date, so I just won't. I'll just give up. Another effect can be security. You know, was your physical safety threatened? You know, were you in a home where there was physical abuse? You know, did you see physical abuse? Did you receive physical abuse? You know, how did you grow up? Did you see that kind of thing? Sexual effects. You know, have you been a victim of abusive relationships? Have people done things to you that you didn't want them to do? You said no and they didn't stop. You know, have you had abuse sexually in your life? That would be an effect that you want to write down. There's a scripture here, Ezekiel 34:16. Let's read that. I will look for those that are lost. I bring back those that wander off, bandage those that are hurt, and heal those that are sick. Ezekiel 34:16. You know, we're talking about a bunch of heavy subjects here, things that have happened in your life that have made you broken. But Scripture says that there's hope, there's healing for that. And one of the ways God chooses to heal is when we just write it down and confess it to Him, and we write it down and confess it to another person. So that's the process that we're going through. We're going through this to get healing from it. Yes, this is tough things to bring up, and your mind might even want to suppress this or ignore this or deny that it happened. I know in my life, I've had to ask my siblings what really happened when we were kids growing up to get perspective. You know, did this really happen? Could you tell me some things that have happened? Because I have some blank holes on what happened or how I might have coped with it. So in your life, you might have to ask other people that were around or knew more about what really happened if you feel like you don't have a good memory of that. So the lessons that I was learning in my dysfunctional family growing up on the sexual side was that my lesson was that women are objects and they're there for my pleasure when I want and how often I want. So that was the lesson that I learned, the wrong lesson. On the security side and the social side, I became an alcoholic just like my parents were alcoholics. You know, I saw the damage that my parents were doing. When I was 17, we had an intervention in our home, and our parents admitted their problem and the next day checked into AA, and their lives changed forever. What a great blessing. And I vowed never to booze it up like my parents did. But when I left home and there were no restraints to fit in with my coworkers, I fell into it and boozed it up for several years. And it's amazing. I really shouldn't be alive. You know, I drove drunk and wrecked my car, and I should not be alive. But for some reason, God said, you know, you made a mistake, you screwed up, you've dealt with it, and now He's going to use that brokenness to be an encouragement to somebody else. So we're writing these things down in the column. The last column, the fifth column, is called My Part. So let's read Lamentations 3:40. Oh, okay. I will read it for you then. This is from the Old Testament, Lamentations 3:40. It says, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord." So we're looking at, you know, what was our way, what was our part in what happened to us. So if you've been abused, if someone's hurt you, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, sexually, all these different ways that you can be abused. If that was inflicted on you, your part is none. So in column 5, you put no part or none. You know, you're a little kid and someone beats you. You have no part in that. Now, me and my anger and my back talking got me laid off from my job. So my part is I did it to myself. You know, it was my own words, my own backstabbing that got me laid off from my job. So I know what my part was, and so I admit it and I deal with it. So in some of the examples in my life, you know, so choosing to drink and get drunk, I'm responsible for that. Watching my mom get beat, I'm not responsible for that. I had no part in that. Do we have Psalm 139? Let's read this one. "Examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and discover, is there any evil in me, and guide me in the everlasting way." So we are asking for God's help to recall these life instances that have molded our thinking and our behavior. And if I can influence your thinking, It will influence your behavior and your actions and your belief. So we're trying to get this out in the open and confront our faulty thinking with the godly thinking. And that's why we need God's help to do this. So in this whole process of doing your inventory, you might need some perspective to see, you know, am I doing this inventory right? Are these the kinds of things that I should be putting on my inventory? You should get yourself a sponsor. So in this room tonight, you'll see men and women walking around that have a lanyard on, and that indicates that they have gone through a step study, which is about a 9-month process. They've done this work in this inventory sheet. They've successfully completed that, and they've taken some training. And they have continually monthly training as well. So these are people that have gone through recovery in their life. They've got some sobriety in their life. They've got some victory in their life. They've got some hope and experience in their life. And they're available for you. So a sponsor can sit down with you face-to-face or over the phone, however you want to work it, and help you create your inventory. One thing we also talk about in inventory is trying to keep it balanced. Up until now, I've been sharing all the big life issues, you know, the dysfunction issues. And to keep it balanced and not to have us so focused on things that have hurt us, we do some positive things. So, for example, you know, I have my dad's name is on the inventory list. So after I write some of the things that he did that were abusive towards me, then I write my dad's name and I write some positive things about my dad. You know, so my dad showed up and he went to my baseball games. You know, my dad supported me in my paper route. My dad supported me going to college. After recovery, my dad was one of my best friends, and we talked on the phone every week. So keep things balanced. You know, in your broken relationships, there's probably some good with each person that may have hurt you. So put that on your inventory list as well, just so you emotionally are not all, I'm a victim, and this person was always horrible. If you don't have a lot of encouraging, positive things to say about other people, you can use Scripture. What does Scripture say about me? You know, God says, I'm a son of God. I've been adopted into God's family. I'm a new creation. There are thousands of positive verses that God makes in Scripture about me and about you. You can put that on the positive list. For those of you that have been victims of abuse, there's oftentimes a lie that says, I deserved what I got. And in recovery, we're here to tell you that, you know, if you were the victim of abuse, you did not deserve that. You deserve better. You know, you deserve to be treated humanely and lovingly. Nobody deserves to be abused. There's a few more scripture verses that will kind of help us get perspective on how God is going to change us and give us some healing. So there's one in the Old Testament, Isaiah 1:18. Do we have that one? Let's read this one together. Come, let's talk this over, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you white as wool. Isaiah 1:18. So as we go through our inventory, we'll realize that not only did things happen to us that harmed us, but we may have done actions that were harmful to others. And you're going to deal with that as well in the inventory process. But right now, just to start off your inventory, we basically started off with how have you been harmed in life and how has that harm affected your worldview? And through the truth of Scripture, we confront our faulty thinking with the correct thinking. And with enough repetition, it turns into belief and conviction and ultimately freedom. So God can make us feel as clean as white snow or as clean as wool. Do we have the James 5:16 verse? Or is that one not in the slides? This one I found just very helpful in my own personal life, James 5:16. It's really big in the recovery world. It's therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. That's James 5:16. One of the things we do in small group is we share how our life is going that week. That's something we get to do every single week. And as we confess our sins, God's faithful to hear that and forgive us. But for some reason, he wants us to actually speak it out loud to another person to break the cycle. So there's something about speaking our faults and asking for God's help that breaks the cycle so we don't keep doing the same habit again and again. So I told you that my name was on my inventory list as a person that I'm disappointed in. So if you get real, you might be disappointed in yourself as well. But on the positive side, I start to write some of the positive attributes. In mine were, I work recovery. I have a sponsor. I have accountability partners. I pray for others. I attend CR. I develop my spiritual life through reading the Bible each day. I ask God for help each day. I learn from others. I use words of affirmation instead of criticism. I forgive those who have harmed me. I'm exercising to stay fit, and I'm treating my body as a temple of the Holy Spirit. So in recovery, you know, when we're making our lists of things that have happened to us, we're also making a list of some positive things to keep it balanced so we don't wallow and we don't get stuck. You can probably tell that recovery is not an individual activity, it's a group activity. We have safe groups for you to join, and we have safe relationships called accountability partners, and we have a safe relationship called a sponsor. So I'm a sponsor to some guys, and I have a sponsor. My sponsor has a sponsor. It just goes on endlessly. We're not in recovery alone. And our Western mindset keeps telling us you can just pick yourself up from your own bootstraps and just double down your effort and change your life. In recovery, we say, no, we're in this as a group and we need each other. And we're accountable before God and we're accountable to each other in safe relationships. So have a support team. Don't do recovery by yourself. Get that team. If you're just hesitant to start doing an inventory, very often you can find another friend and say, hey, this seems like a big task. Would you do this with me and hold each other accountable? And you can progress along that way as well. Ted, did we have any more Bible verses? Okay, good. I was just making sure I was all synced up with you. So you've heard a lot of information tonight. If you have questions, find myself or another person with a lanyard on. Or better yet, if you've heard about a step study, we do this type of work in a step study, this homework, on a weekly basis. And so that's another place where this can be part of your recovery plan, is to jump into a step study and do this as a group. So the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you.